welcome everyone to Paranormal Roundtable. Howdy, folks. I'm your host, Josh Turner, and with me is my co-host, Anthony. And
it's a me, Mushu.
Okay, Tony, Mushu.
Have an old prospector and an Italian plumber here with us.
It's great.
It's us.
Yes. That's y'all to a T for sure. So what we have for you tonight is a show. We're going to have a good show. We always do. And we're going to talk about a lot of interesting things. But first, I got to talk about some things that I need to talk about. First things first, Josh Turner at PRTpodcast.com. That's how you get a hold of me and you can tell me your stories. Or I'm JoshTurner940 on Instagram, and then you can find me on Facebook. I'm just plain old Josh Turner on there. On Facebook, we do have some groups. We have the Josh Wolf Turner PRT. I can't remember the name of it. I don't know.
It's a fan page.
Phil named it like silly.
Phil Stern, he did that. And Chris Clough is in there and Curtis Turner, and they're all doing all kinds of goofy stuff, doing memes. But anyway, that's that. It's a fun page. But then we have some more serious stuff. We are partnered up with Barton Nunley from Inhumanoids. And we also, I'm an admin in Daryl Denton's group, a Bigfoot.
Bigfoot Believers.
Bigfoot Believers and Other Creatures or something like that. It's a huge group, and I'm an admin in that. And then I'm an admin in Quad Coalition of Sciences with Nick Valente. Go join those pages. Check it out. You won't be disappointed. Nick is also the head of the IDP, the International Dogman Project, which is kind of something we're going to talk about tonight, the International Dogman. And then we have the Paranormal Roundtable group, Facebook group. Go check that out. We will be dropping the link to this show every Tuesday and Thursday show. We drop the link on there. And if you leave a comment, you might be picked to win an autographed book. And a few other little things that we throw in for this, So just go leave a comment, and then you could win.
Yeah, especially coming up, because this time we're going to have our conference posters signed by all three of us here. So
yeah,
that's something you might get there as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we got a lot of them. So yeah, we're going to start giving them away.
Yeah. So definitely want to check it out, folks. Go check it out. Paranormal Roundtable group. And we have the Paranormal Lounge, which is Nelly's, and then we have the Paranormal Holistic Healing, and then we have the Paranormal Prayer Group, all those run by Nelly. And so don't miss it. Go check it out. You won't be disappointed. Lots of information. I meet a lot of amazing people in those groups. And I'm in a lot of other groups. I can't even tell you how many. A lot. And I get a lot of interesting information. Like on the live stream, we showed a picture of what looked like a demonic entity or maybe a dog man looking creature. I don't know what it was, but it was in someone's closet. And I met her through one of the groups that we're in. And so she gave me permission. Her name is Michaela. She gave us permission to use the picture. And so that was on one of the live streams last Sunday. Live stream. Yeah. Not last Sunday. It wouldn't have been as of the airing of this. It would have been two or three weeks ago.
It's a while ago. But.
Yeah. But if you're keeping up with the live streams, which I hope you do, you will know what we're talking about. Now, being on the live stream Fridays where we have guests and then Sundays where we retell stories, it's a good way to keep abreast of what's going on with Paranormal Roundtable. Also, if you're in the super chat and or if you're in the premiere chat of this episode, you can always do a super chat and make a donation. It's a good way to support the show. Or go to the Paranormal Roundtable store, buy one of those beautiful zip-up hoodies that everybody likes so much. We are selling those like crazy. It's a great way to help the show and support us by wearing our merchandise. And we want people to walk around wearing because it advertises for us. Tell your friends, your parents, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, everybody that Paranormal Roundtable exists and that we do a good job, and we appreciate it. Also, join the Patreon. We have a $10, $20, $30, $40, $50 tier. Now, let me be very specific. The $10 tier, you get an autographed book from one of many different authors, David Weatherly, Barton Nunley, Ken Gerhardt, etc. So you will be, after 2 months, be eligible for a book and some stickers and some other stuff that we give out, keychains. And then there's a $20 tier, and the $20 tier is just like the $10 tier, except you get a t-shirt Now, on the $30 tier, you get everything that you get on the $20 tier, except if we have a hoodie your size, we'll send you a hoodie if it's wintertime. Now, on the $30 tier, you get two books. On the $40 tier, you get everything that you get from the $30 tier, except you get two books from two different authors, whatever, and then you get one of mine. That's on the $40 tier, right? And then you get everything you get from the $30 tier. $50 tier, you get both of my autographed books, The Werewolves and the Dogman Phenomena and The Bigfoot Phenomena. And then you get two books from different authors. So you get four books on the $50 tier after 2 months, along with a hoodie, T-shirt, whatever, you know, whatever we have in stock. That's your choice, a hoodie or a T-shirt. Also, on the $50 tier, if we have it in stock and you're so inclined, since it's wintertime, we decided that we would send you a free beanie along with your beautiful hoodie. So just be sure and remind us, hey, I want my beanie. If it's not wintertime, then ask for a hat. All right. That being said, let's get started. So this story takes place outside of a city in a province of, well, I guess it's a state, province, whatever, in Mexico. It's called Jalisco. And Jalisco, it's in the west. It's like right near Guadalajara, but it's its own province. And this story, we've gotten some out of these different regions. And I think that talking about these stories from Mexico has made other people come forward and say, hey, in fact, quite a few people saying that they have stories to tell about their families and friends and stuff that when they were in Mexico or living in Mexico. The person that reached out to me for this story, his name is Mario, and he talks about his cousin Diego and his uncle Marco, and then their great uncle, which I'm not even gonna say his name. We'll just call him Arturo. That's not even his real name. We're just gonna call him that. And it's probably best that we don't say his name. But this is something that happened years ago. He's been living in the United States for almost 20 years. His brother or his cousin's been living in the States for 13. So they told me a pretty fascinating story. And he said that he goes, my great uncle and my uncle were involved in something that can only be described as supernatural, involving this creature that you call the dog man or the hombre lobo, as some people in Spanish-speaking people call it. And he said that he got involved in listening and learning about this creature because of what happened to them, in particular what happened to his uncle. Now, the backstory, his uncle was involved in some not-so-legal dealings at one point, and he got in trouble. He got caught, and he did some time. And not to go all in-depth about what he did, but let's just say that it involved elements of crime that you don't want to mess with down in Mexico. And so he it was involved in smuggling, and he would use these little ceramic chihuahuas, and they would put stuff in them, and then they would smuggle it across the border. And it wasn't just, you know, narcotics. It was like all kinds of other things. And they used them for all sorts of different, you know. And so he said, you know, that his uncle Marco was a good guy, but he strayed from the path of being a good dude and kind of went dark. And then he came back and was a good guy again. Well, they lived outside the city of Zapopan. And one of the things that that his uncle did, he got a job working on this like big farm outside of the city where, you know, he could start over and live his life and try to be a good person, because he was not a good person. And he was like, and one of the things he did, he turned his life back over to God, and he started being religious, started going to church, started reading the Bible, yada, yada, yada. And he said, dude, in all the years that he was doing what he was doing, there was a lot of very dangerous situations, very hairy situations he got into. Nothing could prepare him for what ended up happening. His great uncle was married to a woman who was rumored to be into brujeria, which is like witchcraft. Her son, and I'll give you a little backstory on him. This would be there. This would be Marcos, the guys that told me the story. Now let's make sure you understand. Their names are Diego and Mario. They told me this story, and Marcos is their uncle. Now, Marcos' uncle, which would be those boys' great uncle, he was somebody totally different. That's the guy we're going to call Arturo, so just try to keep up. We'll just call him Art for short. And Art had a stepson. The stepson was a very odd-looking kid, to say the least. He was in his early 20s when they met him. These two guys that gave me the story. And of course, now they're in their 30s or whatever, but this was years ago. This was like 20 years ago. They're like in their late 30s, almost 40 years old. So you do the math. I mean, they were young, late teens, early 20s. And this guy, they all knew that there was something wrong with him. They didn't really know much about like his upbringing or whatever. They just knew that he was always with their great uncle, and their great uncle gave them a job working on this farm. And they were recruited by their uncle Marcos to go and work on this farm. They didn't have much dealings with the great uncle. It was mostly Marcos and he ran a crew of guys for the uncle. But they would sometimes have to be around him, like on Sundays when they'd eat dinner and stuff like that at the ranch house. And they would be exposed to this guy that worked for him. Now, the guy that worked for him, the description that was given to me, he was 6'7", which is extremely tall, you know, in Mexico. That's tall here.
The stepson?
Yeah,
the stepson. Tall anywhere, yeah. But especially in Mexico.
He was very, like, as they described him... He was very like, he would walk around with his mouth like open all the time.
Mouth breathing.
Yeah. very skinny, very, very, really slender waist, but he had very long, skinny, gangly arms. Kind of had cold, dead eyes, long legs. And there were rumors going back from when they were young, not knowing much about this kid, not knowing him that well, that he didn't go to school. He didn't do anything, that he was just kind of feral. And when they looked in his eyes had this striking look about them, like they were hazel eyes, but sometimes they would change color, and at times they would look almost yellow. And they said that if you saw him in the right light, you would be like shocked at his eyes looking so amber. And they said that he was a malcontent. He was never happy. He was always muttering and grumbling. He did not have any form of mental like retardation that they know of, but they did think that he was slow, but they didn't know anything about it, what it was. There was nobody that had diagnosed and said, this is what he's got. But they assumed that that's probably what was going on. But as it turns out, he was actually pretty clever. He managed to have a relationship with a girl for years that nobody even knew about, which was even weirder. Like, yeah, he had a girlfriend. Now, she was a kind of like him. She was kind of simple, at least they assumed, right? And that she lived out on the edge of town. And it turns out that he even had a child with her.
Oh, wow.
And she lived like way out in the middle of nowhere. And supposedly her family was very poor, and they were rumored to be into some weird stuff like incest and whatever. And that she ran around barefooted all the time and was pretty feral too herself. And her family was very rural. Most of them couldn't read or write. And the way that they made money was by stealing. They were kind of like gypsies in a way.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Just kind of settled in that area, and nobody really knew where they came from. The rumor was that this girl that he was in love with, her dad was actually his dad, and that he had actually forced himself on their great uncle's, late wife. She passed away from cancer. So he actually took pity on this kid and took him in and raised him as his own. But when he found out that he was consorting with this girl, he flew into a rage and actually forbid him from going to see this girl. And the rumor, it's just a rumor. They never confirmed it, but they thought that it was probably because it was his half-sister. And so that's, yeah, it's a very weird sort of Jerry Springer with mariachis.
Yeah.
They were telling me all this, and I was like, wow. But it gets even weirder because the girl that he was all infatuated with, was all in love with, whatever, sometimes she could be seen walking around with no clothes on all fours, running back and forth across these creeks and into these like hills. And people would be like, what in the hell? And there was a rumor also that she had been raised with dogs. Like that she had been left to die by her mother who didn't want her. And that supposedly she was raised by dogs and then her dad went and got her and brought her back and raised her and took care of her. And then, of course, the rumor that this young man was also his kid. But their great uncle was a pretty benevolent guy and he took pity on the kid and he raised him as his own. And a lot of times he could be seen going into town to get feed and do different things, and he would have him with him. And everybody always felt really uncomfortable around him. And he said that he had a very protruding brow line and that he had these weird-looking, striking eyes. And he says, one time when I was a kid, this was Mario, he told me, he says, when I was like 7, 8 years old, he said, me and my sister Lydia, he's like, she was like, you know, all of 6, maybe 5. And he's like, dude, we were little kids. We were on the back of the truck of my grandfather's truck. He goes, and I will never forget it. We're with my abuelito. He goes, and we're driving along down this country road. He's like, and we see this creature that looked kind of like a gorilla mixed with a man. He's like, and I'll never forget it. And he's like, my abuelito, my grandfather said that was a Bigfoot, that it was a Sasquatch, you know? And so he said that for the rest of his life, he was fascinated and enthralled by the whole idea that Bigfoot lived out in those hills. But he said that this kid in the face kind of looked like that. You know, he had this kind of like Neanderthal look about him. And he said that he had never forgotten that. And he always, when he would see this guy, he just thought, man, this guy's so ugly. And, you know, and he called him feo, which is ugly in Spanish, yeah. Right? And he said, I said, so how would you describe him? You know, like if you had to, you know, give me a few words, he says, take Lurch and make him uglier and just.
Yeah. That's the first thing I thought of was Lurch.
Yeah. He said Lurch, really ugly, but mixed with like a Sasquatch because he was very hairy too. But he didn't have like that condition, you know, with like hair on the face, nothing like that. But he had like a very unkempt hair, unkempt beard, and he had like his arms and legs, everything was very hairy.
A real life curly.
And he said it was just like very, very ugly guy. And he said if you got too close to him, you could smell his breath. It smelled like rotting meat.
Gross.
And he was a very gross guy. And so he goes, the idea that this guy actually had a girlfriend when we found out, you know, he goes, I thought it was just obscene, you know. Even a feral girl that runs around on all fours, who the hell is going to want to be with this guy?
Yeah.
And so he just thought that was odd. And he was just an odd guy. And he just kind of like, you know, kept his distance from him. And when he would see him coming down the road and to get the guys from the bunkhouse to go eat, you know, he would just kind of avoid him. And they would sometimes people from the family would sit down and eat Sunday dinner. He goes, and this guy would be at the table. And all he would do is just sit there and eat with his hands and look at his food and then get up and stare and look at everybody else. And half the time what he was eating was like very undercooked meat. So he just thought it was just a weird guy, you know? And so what ended up happening one day, one of the vaqueros, that's the cowboys, fell off his horse and got hurt. And he didn't even go to the hospital, which they thought was odd. So Mario and Diego were there and they ran out to help the guy and they put him in a truck. And he says that the truck never left the compound. Like it was like they went back to work. And they just saw the truck sitting there and later on and they saw this blood in the back of it. And they were like, well, what happened to the guy, you know, that was supposed to go? This guy's name was Juanito. They called him Juanito. And they said, where is he? And they said, well, Juanito refused to go to the hospital and he went home. And he never came back to work. So when they asked one of the foremans about this, this guy, Ricky, he told them he just quit. Don't bring it up again. And they're like, this guy had to have died because he lost a lot of blood. And it looked like on the side of his head and on his shoulder that he had been bitten by something. And it looked like how a dog bite would look, you know?
Yeah.
And they thought it was odd. And so they approached their uncle, Marcos about it. And they told him, they said, you know, Theo, that's uncle in Spanish. What do you think of this situation that happened where Juanito, he just quit. Doesn't make any sense, right? And he says, yeah, there's a lot of weird things that aren't really adding up. He's like, come the fall, he goes, you know, right before come summer, right before the first, the heat comes in real bad. He's like, I think I'm going to quit. He goes, you guys can do what you want if you want to stay and work. And they said, no, if you're quitting, we're going to quit. He says, well, I'm not going to tell, you know, Uncle Art yet, you know, what I'm going to do. I'm just going to, you know, stack my money and then I'm going to leave and go back and work in a town in a warehouse. And so they get one of his old jobs back, not doing anything illegal, but being straight, you know. And they said, okay. And he said, if you want to join me, you can, or you're welcome to stay here and work for Ricky. And they said, no, if you decide to leave, we'll go with you. Well, the next day, this young man that was very weird, odd looking, comes walking down the road, and he would oftentimes be carrying a stick and like smacking rocks and like, you know, he would like take them and hit them, and the rocks would bounce off the side of the bunkhouse. And if you didn't get out and stare at him and kind of let him know that you were displeased with it, he would just keep doing it. And so Mario gets up and he's like, he looks at the guy. At this point, he was very agitated. And he tells the guy, he says, do you really need to do that? Is that something you just have to do? Is this why? Is this important to you? And the guy just like throws a stick down. And then he said, dude, it was so fast. He was like probably 30 yards away from me. He goes, within like a few steps, it seemed like he was just right in my face. And he was like, you want to say that again? And he got all up in his face. And he had never spoken more than two words to this guy. And the guy was speaking and talking well, like articulating.
Yeah.
And he was like, holy crap, I've never heard this guy hardly talk. And the guy was like, do you have a problem? And he told him in Spanish, you know, and he told him, no. And so he said, this guy was huge. He was towering over me. He said, and when he turned around to walk away, he goes, dude, the guy looked very big and muscular, as opposed to like how he normally looked, was like this tall, skinny, emaciated looking weirdo. He's like, it looked like he had gained like 50 pounds of muscle within like, you know, a day.
It was like a troll.
And so he said, he was sitting there staring at him and he thought, this is weird. So he tells his uncle, Marcos, about it. And he says, and Marcos says, yeah, he's always made me uncomfortable. He's like, I noticed the same thing when I was younger, me and him got into it at a restaurant where he went in there to get some food. And he started to berate and talk mean to one of the girls that worked there. And he knew the girl. So he said something to him and the guy confronted him outside. And he, of course, he towers over Marco. Marco's like 5'7". This guy's 6'7". He's like a foot taller than him and probably outweighs him by 100 pounds. And he said that he gets in my face and he tells me, hey, mind your own business before something happens. And so he goes, you know, a couple months go by and I talked to my uncle Arturo about it. And I said, you know, your stepson over here, he's got a real attitude. And kind of funny, though, that his nickname was Gordo because he's a tall, skinny guy, yeah. Right? So they called him Fatty, which is like calling somebody slim, you know, or tiny, you know. But Gordo, he told him, he says, Gordo, he's got an attitude. He's got a problem. And he said, dude, his great uncle said, don't make him mad. He said he got this really panicked look on his face. And he says, don't make him mad. He says, you don't know what this guy's capable of. And he said, well, he's just a kid. He's like, no, he's not a kid. He's like, he's older than you. And he's like, what? And he goes, he looks like he's like, in his, you know, he's 20 years old, 21 or something, you know. He says, no, he's about 40.
Wow.
And he's like, wow, he doesn't have any of the features of an older person. And he says, yeah. And so his great uncle proceeds to tell him a story, which he says he thought was mentiras, like a lie. But he said that his uncle told him that he had a condition and that something was wrong. And it involved this pituitary gland, which made him not age as fast and all this other stuff. And he thought it was all just a bunch of bull crap. Now, when Mario asked me about this, you know, I told him, I said, I don't know off the top of my head of any condition that could make you not age, you know, because I'm pretty sure that scientists would have already like dedicated a lot of time to isolating those genes and putting them in people and trying to give them longevity, whatever, you know. So I told him, I said, I don't know anything about, you know, like that would cause that. Not off the top of my head, and I didn't really get into it, you know, researching it, whatever. But I did tell him one thing that I thought at this point in time in the story, but I didn't, I'm not going to say it to you now. And he tended to agree with me, of course, knowing what he knew and knowing what I came to know. And he continues telling me there was another weird incident that happened. Another time, there was a guy that had fallen off of his horse. I mean, not fallen off his horse, had gotten hit by one of the horses, kicked one by one of the horses. And it happened years ago. And that guy, Gordo, was one of the only people that witnessed this. So this guy's head was cut open, and he claimed that it happened from a horse's hoof kicking him in the head. And the horse ended up being put down for being out of control or whatever. And it was all based on this guy's word. And that ended up making that guy into a vegetable. When that guy was sitting in the hospital, according to what Marcos told Mario and Diego, he said that his great uncle told him that the doctor said that these wounds were not
made from a horse.
They're not made from a horse. They're not consistent with a horse or a donkey kicking somebody. He said, I don't know what could have done this. He goes, but it looks more like a bite to the head. And there again. And the only witness was this weirdo. And so he supposedly saves the guy. But then a couple days after this guy's in the hospital and he's supposedly not, he's in a coma, he goes missing. And then his family never sees him again. And they don't know what happened to the body. And he went missing right after he was starting to become conscious, but he still couldn't talk really well. And so then he disappears from the hospital and nobody ever sees him. Well, these things start to add up and there starts to be rumors, you know, and everybody starts to say, hey, there's something weird about Gordo. He's over here, you know, whenever something happens. And then the horse that was put down, he was in charge of disposing of it. It was found about 4 or 5 miles out in the country, like taken apart, like pieces of it taken apart, and like there were big chunks of it missing, like somebody was eating it. And they thought that that was extremely odd. Well, when they asked him about it, he said he dumped it off and coyotes must have got a hold of it, you know, or wolves. And that's how they explained it. Well, this girl that he was infatuated with, eventually they meet her at a dinner. They go to town and they have this big festival or whatever that they have. And this, it's not a festival, it's a quinceañera, whatever. She comes to town, her little sister's there too, and she's really good friends with the girl that was having the quinceañera. So then she introduces them, and she doesn't act like a feral animal like they thought, like the rumors, you know. She's dressed like a normal girl. However, she is barefoot. And she has some really gnarly looking feet. And they were like, I was looking at her feet and thinking, man, what the hell? And she had like a lot of hair on her arms and a lot of hair on her legs. You could see the legs. And he's like, and it was disgusting. He goes, she was not properly groomed or cared for, but she talked like a normal person. And her little sister seemed kind of reserved and kind of shy. But for the most part, she seemed normal. And he said that the Gordo kind of like was like shadowing her the whole time, kind of around her, you know. And his great uncle, their great uncle, Art, was like just kind of observing and watching and got inebriated at this little get together. And he told the boys, he said, let me tell you something. He goes, stay clear of that guy. He's like, he's my stepson, and out of my love for my late wife, he goes, I've raised him as my own, and I'm the only dad he really knows. So, but I can tell you, just stay clear of him, okay? Don't be alone with him, and definitely don't go out at night with him anywhere. They thought, wow, this is odd, you know? This guy is borracho, as they say, drunk in Spanish, and he's telling them all this stuff, you know, about this dude. And so he goes, we were walking home. It's only a few kilometers out into to the bunkhouse where we were at. So we decided to walk. He goes, we had been drinking and we had a bottle of tequila and it was about five or six of us were sharing it and we're walking back. He goes, and while we're walking back, we hear this howling noise and it was all to the right of us. Everybody was looking over to their right and they could hear it. And then they hear this growling and this guttural sound that sounds like some sort of vicious dog. And it sounded like it was in the process of chewing or on something or tearing something apart, but they didn't hear an animal or anything shrieking or freaking out. They just heard that. And so one of the guys was kind of curious. He said, you know, let's go look and see what it is. It's just coming from right over this hill. And they were like, no. We don't want to know. The rest of them were like, no. We need to get home. You know, and then one of them even mentioned Hombre Lobo, like this could be like this werewolf type creature that there's like a myth about it, right? And they're like, you're a scaredy cat, whatever, you know, you're afraid, whatever. And they teased him and made fun of him. And he says, no, I believe in this stuff. And so when they get back to the bunkhouse, they start talking and he goes to that guy and he says, why do you believe in this? He goes, because I've seen it. And he said, what does it look like? And he says, well, it looks like a gray wolf. It can stand up on its hind legs and it walks like a man. It's very skinny, but it has little short pointy ears and a humongous snout full of teeth. And he goes, where did you see it at? He goes, out on the edge of the property. And I've seen it twice. One time I saw it sitting on a hill and it had one of the goats and it was just eating it. He goes, and another time I saw it like walking around on all fours, but it was like these long, skinny front arms of like a man, but the back legs of like a wolf. He goes, and it was like walking and it looked like it was stalking one of the dogs. And then the next thing you know, it chased after one of the dogs and it caught it and then took it off into the woods. He goes, I told the foreman, and he took it up to the higher ups and they just said, just ignore it. Don't mess with it. And he thought it was kind of odd. And so this guy tells him, he says, this thing exists. And whatever that was we heard, he goes, I guarantee you that's what it was. And he says, really? He says, yeah. And he goes, do you think that it's a werewolf? And he goes, like a person? He goes, I don't know. I haven't seen anybody change into one. But if I had to take a guess, this thing is some sort of beast that lives amongst us. And that was a very telling statement. So Mario says, the dude, he goes, I couldn't sleep. He goes, me and Diego were like just one of their friends that worked there with them. They were very close with. And they said they stayed up all night just talking about it, thinking about it. And then the very next day, this goofy guy, Gordo, comes to the bunkhouse knocking on the door. And the guy that told him the story, he goes off with him and they're walking and talking. He said, and then the next day they're told he quit. He never came back. They never saw him again. And one of the other cowboys that was in the bunkhouse next to theirs, and he said all of the younger, rowdier guys stayed in their bunkhouse, and all the older, more mature guys stayed in the other bunkhouse. Well, this one guy named Pedro says, last night I saw Gordo kind of sneaking around between the bunkhouses. So then, you know, Mario tells me, he says, dude, I put two and two together. He's like, I'm thinking, this dude, this fool was walking around listening to our conversation. He's like, then the next day he comes and gets this guy. Then we never see him again. And I said, did you ever see him again? He goes, nope, never, ever saw him again, ever. He goes, all I knew was that he was from Guadalajara, and that was it. None of us ever heard from him or saw him or anything. They all said that he just quit and went back. And that supposedly Gordo had come and said, hey, your mom is really sick. And that was it. He's like, it's not like him. He didn't come back and get his stuff. He didn't come back and say goodbye or nothing. Just that was it. And so then he's like, we go to our uncle, Marco, and Marco tells him, he's like, I got my suspicions about Gordo and what I think is going on, but I don't know if I should say it. And so they're eating dinner, you know, and he says, well, just say it. And he says, well, I found something very odd. He's like, if you go back down behind the main house, there's a cellar right there and it's built down into the ground and you can't even tell that it's there. He's like, I stumbled upon, I tripped over it one day. And then I thought, what the heck is that? That's odd. He goes, and then I found this like rope. I started pulling, and then I saw that there was like this whole like door, like this trap door. He goes, I opened it up. He goes, I looked around. I didn't see anybody, so I started going down there. He goes, and when I got down there, I saw this gray wolf-like creature sitting inside of a cage, sleeping. He's like, and I thought it was really odd. He goes, and as I got closer, he goes, I saw something that didn't make any sense at all. The upper body looked like that of a man, covered in gray fur, and the lower body was like a wolf's. He's like, and this thing was sound asleep. He goes, and I looked around, and I was just like, man, I want to get the hell out of here. So he ran back up the steps. He goes, and then he goes, as I was running up the steps, this thing, I looked back, and I saw that it was like moving. The back legs were moving like it was waking up. So I closed the door, and I took off. And he said, when he was walking up to the main ranch house to talk to his uncle, he's like, I was going to ask Art what that is, and what is that creature? What's it doing in the back, in your backyard, you know, near this atrium? And so his uncle comes out, and he says he was very calm, very methodical, and he's rolling this home rolled cigarettes that he liked to roll, these cigarros. And he tells him, you know, he offers him one, and he says, sure. So they start smoking. He says, what you saw, because he knew apparently, he says, you can never talk about ever. He's like, if you do, your life will be in serious danger. He's like, don't ask, you know. And so he told him, what is that? He goes, I can't tell you. He's like, just don't ask. And so he says, all right. So, you know, he lets it go. And, you know, a couple weeks go by, and of course he can't keep it to himself. So he's telling these guys about it. And then he tells them something odd. He says, you know, I didn't see Gordo for about 3 days. There was no sign of him. And all my uncle would tell me was that he had gone to town. And he was like, Gordo doesn't go anywhere by himself, you know, other than on the property, on the compound. He doesn't walk to town by himself. And the only place he ever goes off the compound alone is to go visit that girl that they think is his sister. So a few days go by after he tells Mario and them this, and they wake up in the middle of the night to one of the guys screaming, and there is this gray furry arm reaching through the window, and it's grabbing one of the cowboys, and it's got him halfway out the window, and they see this giant wolf-like head come in, and it's snapping and biting, and the guy puts his hand up to try to push its face back, and it literally bit half of his hand off right in front of them, and there's blood going everywhere. He's like, we wake up to seeing this, so we all pull out guns and start firing at this thing, and then it finally stops and backs off and then jumps out off of the wall, and then we look out the window and we see it running up the hill, and it's bleeding. So we all go outside and we see it, and there's like 7 or 8 of us. He says, you know, we're looking, and the guy whose hand was bitten off, we had to get him to the hospital. So we take him to the hospital, and which is in town, you know, the closest one we could get to. He's like, we're halfway there, and this giant creature comes running out of the darkness once again and smacks into the side of their truck. And some of the guys are in the back of the truck, and they start shooting at it. And then on the other side, this other gray-looking creature, but a little bit smaller, comes and hits the side of the truck and then starts to put its arm up on the truck and tries to get into the back. And these ranch hands, these farmers, ranch hands, whatever, they start stabbing at it and shooting it and shooting both of them, trying to get away from it. And eventually these two creatures just both veer off and go in different directions out into the woods. And they just drive into town, and they take this guy to the hospital. When they get to the hospital, this guy is convulsing. He's having seizures. And the next thing you know, he's in a coma. The doctor comes out and starts asking him, you know, questions. And he said, what happened? They said, well, this dog, wolf, I don't know what it was, bit him. So he thought, well, what could be causing him to have seizures and convulsions? He's losing blood from his hand. But that wouldn't be causing all that. Eventually, this guy, Augustine, the one that was bitten, that's the guy's name, he ends up coming out of the hospital. And he tells him a really weird story. He tells him that he'd been having these weird dreams, and he told him that he couldn't sleep at night, and every time he would try to wake up or go to sleep, he would wake up drenched in sweat, and that he would wake up in weird places. And he tells him, dude, my hand, you know, he's like, they reattached his hand, but it was just useless. He couldn't do anything, right? And so then after a couple of weeks, his hand is already like, you could still see a scar there, but it was fully functional again. That's really weird. You remember how Chris Kramer came on the show and he talked about his hand being mangled and tore up, and he thinks that a Bigfoot actually helped heal it?
Yeah.
It was a crazy story. Well, this guy said that there was this weird dream he had where this wolf-like creature comes walking into his house where he lived with his mother in town. And the thing literally like gave him some blood from his own hand, this wolf-like creature that had like arms like a man, and poured it on his hand. He says, I fall back to sleep in this dream, right? And then the next day I wake up and my hand is like halfway healed. And then it just slowly began to heal. So then Mario asks him, he says, do you think it could have been a dream? He says, no, I don't think it was a dream. I just think it was dreamlike. He goes, but it seems so real. He goes, but what could do something like that? I don't know. So eventually they quit. Their uncle leaves and tells their great uncle, hey, we're going to hit the road. You know, thank you for, you know, giving us a job, but we're all going to go work in a warehouse in town. And they split, and that's the end of that. Well, about a year goes by, and they go to a big festival in town, and their great uncle is there, and he brings Gordo. When Gordo comes in, he's dressed decent, like a normal person. He's actually wearing shoes, and his hair is cut and everything, and he's looking more dapper, let's put it that way. He sits down at a table with them, and he begins, tearing the tortilla and, like, eating it, whatever. And he tells them, he says, I know you guys know my situation. He's like, and I appreciate you not ever telling anyone about it. And he's like, they acted dumb at first. They're like, what do you mean? He goes, well, your uncle, Marco, he goes, he came down one day when I was asleep. He's like, and I was in my cage. He goes, and I know that he saw me. And Mario and Diego are sitting there, and they were like, holy crap. And they're like, that was you? And he said, yeah, that's me. And then he gave him a very dire warning. He says, if you ever tell anybody about this, he's like, that'll be it for you. And then they asked him another question. They said, was it you that attacked the truck? He said, oh, no, that wasn't me. He's like, that was my sister, both of them. And he's like, so they are your sisters? And he says, yes. He's like, we inherited this from our dad. He's like, I don't know what I am. I don't know why I am. I just know that I am this, whatever. And he said, they asked him some other questions, and they said, well, you know, what's it like? And he's like, it's very painful. He's like, and it's not something I asked for. He's like, but I readily accept it. And he said that at any time, he's able to change. Like, he can change. The problem is sometimes he gets stuck and he can't change back. So then when he has these moments of where, you know, clarity, he'll go down into the cage and lock himself in there, because then he'll lose his human mind again and he won't even have a clue. He can't control himself. So there's only like bouts of clarity there. But he said that the words he used, like, it's liberating and it's cool to be bestial and just give in to your desires and not live by the rules of mankind. Now, if you read about Aleister Crowley, that was his whole thing. You remember how he called himself the Beast?
Yeah.
And he liked to just, you know, live like with no rules, no, you know, whatever, and just let yourself become bestial.
Yeah, and the Satanists have a word, phrase for that. They call it atavistic resurgence. It's the same thing, mm-hmm. like just giving in to your basic, like reptilian brain, you know, animalistic urges, mm-hmm. living like that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. He claims that his real dad was the father of those two girls, that his real dad told him years ago what he was, who he was, and actually showed him the first time he had ever even entertained the idea that he could have been different. His dad came and took him and took off his clothes and changed into a wolf right in front of him. Now, according to him, their family, their bloodline goes back to Spain, but they're not Spaniards. They were gypsies. And this is what he told Mario, and Mario told me this, and I don't know. I don't know what I believe, but I know that Mario and his cousin believe this because I talked to both of them. And Mario said that, you know, he said that they told him they're gypsies, and they came over, you know, with the Spaniards years and years ago, like generations ago. And they originally were being used as like a weapon against the Indians there by the Spaniards. They brought them over and allowed them to give them positions of power over people. And periodically they would pick people off and just do whatever they did. And he said that his dad taught him this and told him this and said, you know, I don't know, like even his dad didn't know where this came from or why it was what it was. He just knew that it was. Now, if you stop and you think about this, could this story be true? Could there be people that do this and it's like an inherited thing that goes through their bloodline? Or they have the ability to deceive us maybe? Or I don't know how you would do it. Or you know, because if we do live in like this matrix, do they know a code or something? I mean, you know, I don't know. These thoughts have raced through my mind, you know, especially hearing a story like this. And one of the things that Mario said, he's like, dude, I'm not interested in telling anyone that researched Dogman about this because he says they're not going to believe it. He's like, you know, he goes, I tried typing this story onto a group and everybody ridiculed me, made fun of me. He's like, but they're missing the truth about this is what he said. I'm not saying I believe this. But what Mario said was they're missing the truth about what these things are. He's like, I believe that they're part of a bloodline and that they can shapeshift. They can do this. And we went on to have a conversation about reptilians. And I had asked him if he knew about the reptilians. He didn't know a whole lot about that, but his cousin did. And his cousin, when they were both on the phone with me, he did tell me, yes, I've heard of these reptilian shapeshifters, and I don't think it's much different than these guys. They do the same thing. It's something that he believes goes way back beyond ancient that we can't possibly comprehend. Well, we can comprehend Bigfoot. We can comprehend ghosts. We really don't know what these are. And I think it's really funny that people always say, well, I don't believe these are shapeshifters. I don't believe this. I don't believe that. But yet bunches and bunches of people see people change into stuff. In fact, there's a video that's been going around on TikTok. I don't have TikTok, but other people that I know do, and they sent it to me, and it shows a cat literally morph into like a human, and as it becomes like a humanoid figure, and then it starts walking, and then it looks like a guy wearing a jacket and clothes. Now, I mean, I don't know if that's real, but I know a guy that you guys probably know who I'm talking about. He's from China, and he had told me a story about seeing a person that was a pig, and the pig turned into a human being. And yeah. He says that he witnessed it in front of three of his cousins, or three of his siblings. And, of course, we had somebody on our show, literally come on our show and claim that he saw some sort of feral hog turn into what looked like a hiker.
Yeah.
Yeah. You remember that?
Yeah. And the guy had clothes and everything.
Clothes and everything.
A man. He said it like turned into like some black form, black blob or something mm-hmm. first, right? And then from that black form, it changed its form into a man. Like it changed its shape. And then it started to take on like the colors and everything else of a person and in clothes.
Yeah.
This is an interesting one to me because it kind of just... It's not more of the same in the sense that it's like, oh, it's just the same old story, but it's like the more of the same of like, oh, more confusion, more questions, you know. And the main thing that I'm kind of curious about is like, it's like the chicken or the egg kind of question, whereas, is it possible that there was an actual original kind of bloodline of these creatures that were roaming around, and then either demons or spirits or whatever came onto this plane and saw those creatures and turned themselves into these creatures? Because you do get too many stories of like these weird astral kind of dogmen, or like these weird dogmen that do some very like creepy, weird stuff. And then you get a lot of stories like this one where they're, you know, mostly physical. And like, you know, these ones bled, you know, when they got shot. Like, I mean, it might, I don't think it
didn't kill them.
Didn't kill them or really affect them, but it did, you know, make them bleed, which is not something you hear all the time. So it's like the question of which is it? Is it that some astral or some, you know, spiritual beings became dogmen, and that they were so physical for so long that they actually kind of bred? Or is it that there was actually, you know, like I said earlier, something that was here first, and then that these entities outside of our plane kind of imitated? That's what kind of it makes me think. And it's kind of weird to think about how this could be, you know, passed on genetically. Because then it's one of those things where it's like, what if like four generations down that pops up and there's no, you know, no one in the previous three generations that had that kind of problem? Because that genetics is weird, and it works in mysterious ways. I mean, people are still trying to figure it out. So it's a bizarre story, and it's weird that he just came clean at the end there. And
well, yeah, who's going to believe him though?
Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, like I said in the beginning, he gave me like this kind of simple minded, curly, you know, like big but slow kind of, that's what I thought of him. But he turned out to be like this incredibly smart and kind of devious,
cunning
kind of guy.
Yeah.
So is it that half of the bloodline that kind of made him look like that? And did his dad look like that as well?
You know, they said, the dad was really tall and very, very muscular, bigger, even more muscular, but not as tall as the son. Hmm. But he was very big and muscular, like bigger, stronger looking.
And the daughters, too.
Daughter's pretty big.
Yeah.
That's funny. It's funny how the rumors kind of spread around and how wild they got. I mean, obviously she's very abnormal looking, you know, walks around hairy and kind of barefoot, but the way they made it seem was like she was basically like kept in a cage, like some feral thing that they kept on a leash.
And they were Spanish gypsies going back generations, you know. You know, gypsies actually originally come from India. And a lot of these stories about the cynocephali come from India. And then you get a lot of stories about, you know, werewolves, dogman, whatever, just out of that region, all the way from the Indus Valley to the land of the, you know, Sri Lankans. I mean, all the way down. You get like these stories of like dog-headed werewolf creature shapeshifters. You know, I mean, I don't know. It makes you wonder if maybe the gypsies coming out of India, which is where they all originated from, and spreading throughout Europe, may have spread that legend or that, you know. And then, of course, they hop on a boat and they come to the New World with the Europeans, you know. And I don't know. It's a weird thing, dude. These guys now, you know, now Mario, he lives here in the United States, and so does his cousin, and they've been here for a while, and he is now working as an electrician and doing construction, but his cousin just lives in the city, and you know, he's just, he likes to paint and do all kinds of different stuff. Not like a painter who paints houses, but like, you know, paint pictures, stuff like that.
Artist.
Yeah. And one of the things that his cousin does is he paints these wolf-like creatures because he's fascinated by it. Yeah. after what they saw that night in the bunkhouse, I mean, it made them believers because seeing is believing. But then again, you know, seeing could be deceiving. You know, we don't know.
Yeah.
Any closing thoughts from you, Anthony?
What you were saying about, like, this guy, like, not really even knowing where he came from. Like, you were talking about, like, do they know, I guess, like, are they kind of self-aware? Like, how much...
I wish they know about their history.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of this show I watched, which was based on a Stephen King book, I guess, called The Outsider, which he actually based on, I think, something called, like, El Cuco or something like that.
El Cucuy?
No, it was... I think it was something different. But in a nutshell, what it was is it was this shapeshifter, and it was this being that would take the form of other people. And it didn't need to consume those people to take their form. It could just, like, imitate them. And it would go out in the form of other people, and it was a man-eater. It would consume people. And then that person would get blamed for a murder, you know. But at the end of it, it's talking about, like, its origins. And I guess this thing had been alive and for so long that it had lost, like, all sense of identity. And it didn't know where it came from. It didn't even know what it was. It didn't know why it existed. It didn't know how it got like that. It just knew that it had to eat to survive, and that it had to eat people, and it, like, that it had to do what it was doing to survive. And that's all it knew. Like, it didn't have any other sense of its history or identity or anything like that.
And this thing was a predator too, this guy.
Yeah.
Gordo, he was a predator. I mean, he was. They saw him eating a lamb or a goat, I think. And then they witnessed him. You know, he obviously ate that dog. He obviously ate that horse, and then the men.
Yeah, yeah. And then, I mean, that's probably, like, all that he knows. Really, I mean, is that he is what he is, and that he has to do that to survive.
He didn't give him any answers, really.
Yeah.
Or maybe he
didn't have the answers himself.
Maybe he was. Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't.
I mean, maybe he didn't care. I mean, it kind of seemed like...
Yeah, he didn't give a crap.
Yeah. It seemed like once he found out what he was, he was like, yep, this is me. I'm already just a embraced freak. It.
But then he probably was that way since he was a kid.
So I mean, when you look like that, I guess you kind of just live with...
Yeah.
Being a monster, so you're like, oh, yeah. A monster inside and out? That's cool.
But I mean, like, if that's something that he inherited, then it's like, that's all he's ever known.
Well, I mean, he just thought himself as weird until his dad transformed in front of him. So, like, I'm sure, like, he's had a period of his life where he was like, I don't know what the heck is going on.
Yeah.
So that must have been terrifying for him.
Well, they kept the bloodline going because his own sister and him, I guess, had a child, I guess.
Yeah.
Dogs be weird.
But eventually, like, what if they keep reproducing, like, and then generation, like, with each subsequent generation, they start to lose their sense of history, identity, and eventually it just gets to the point where it's like that thing on The Outsider where all it knows is that it is what it is.
I mean, they're kind of already at that point. I mean, as far as they're concerned, they're just Spanish gypsies. I mean, Wolf was the one that said that Spanish gypsies came from India, but they had no idea about that.
All gypsies did.
Yeah, so, like, India. I mean, I doubt they really looked into it that far to be like, okay, where did we come from? Oh, India? Okay, what parts of India did...
And I mean, like, how did they... Get like that. Yeah. They probably don't even know, like, where it started, how, why, nothing.
And it could have been something that they brought from India or something that they got from the Europeans or both.
You know, what I'm actually really curious about is I wonder if he's deformed, not because he's a dog man, but because of inbreeding. And it's like the inbreeding affects his human form, but it doesn't really affect that dog man form or whatever, and it kind of just, like, it doesn't care about it, so that's why it doesn't affect them when they do it. Like, yeah, we can continue doing it, who cares, because, like, they see themselves as more bestial than humans.
Yeah,
well, we may never know. It's a very odd story, folks, and glad we could bring it to you, but that's all the time we have for tonight. Thank you for tuning in to PRT. Good night.